we welcome you back anytime that you have the opportunity or that the power is out at your building. You're always welcome to come here and be with us. It's probably appropriate that you're here with us if your power's out, because our regular speaker, Brother Daniel, is out working on the power this morning, especially if you go to Westview. I talked to him earlier, and that's where he was. He was over in that direction. So we're glad that you're here with us. I do want to say, Daniel usually has a little kids class. We have some slides that go along with that. He always does just such a great job with that. But when he's not here, we always just let the kids pick a song. And if you've never worked on a computer before, maybe you don't know this, but to get those kids' songs up here in 4 or 5 seconds after they call them out is a challenge. There are a lot of files on that computer. And so sometimes it takes a minute to scroll through several files to find the one that you're looking for. So you're real fortunate that Matt's back there this morning and not me, because I don't know if I'd have found that song this morning. We're going to call this Alternative Sunday because you may be worshiping in an alternative place. You're getting an alternative speaker, and we're having an alternative lesson. And we're going to talk about alternative practices to deepen your faith. Alternative practices. And not just that, but routine-busting practices to help deepen your faith. Now, as we get started this morning, I want to say this. There is nothing wrong with having a good routine. In fact, I would encourage you to have a good routine in your homes. You know, especially for those who might have young families, you know, we have younger kids. A routine is really good for kids. And we kind of have a routine. Now, the kids are out for summer, so maybe they're changing their routine a little bit. But while school's in, we kind of have a routine that we get up at a certain time. My kids usually get up about 6 o'clock, and Brooke makes some breakfast and takes them to school. I pick them up in the afternoon. We come home. If they got homework, we try to get that out of the way. And then they get some time to play to themselves. And then Brooke gets home. One of us fixes dinner. And they usually get their showers while we're fixing dinner. And then we have dinner together. You get maybe another hour. You're in bed by 8, 8:30. It's a good routine. Kids get plenty of sleep, get everything done, and it's helpful. It's really good. And for those of you who work, maybe you have a routine as well to get your work done. I need to get this done on this day to meet our deadline at work, and you have a routine for that, and that's really good. And it's wonderful to have a great spiritual routine. So we think about our routine spiritually. I hope that you're reading your Bible every day. Let's take a few minutes, open our Bible, and let God speak to us off the pages of His Word. That's a wonderful routine to have. And let's pray. Let's talk to Him. Let's do that in a regular routine. You know, find a time that's good for you and talk to God. Tell Him all the things that are on your heart. Tell Him all the things that you're worried about, that you have concerns about. And express some gratitude for all that He's done in your life. Have a routine where we do that. And worshiping together. Our meeting together, we kind of have a routine. We have certain times every week that we do that. It's good to have a healthy spiritual routine. And sometimes we even call this traditions. Well, we have a tradition of doing this or that. That's good. It's good to have those things. God instructs His people to seek out the old paths. Look for the tradition. Look for the way that we've routinely done this. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. God says, hey, the way that things have traditionally been done, seek that out. That's good. And so as we're talking about routine busting this morning, I want to point out from the beginning, there's nothing wrong with having a routine. It's good that we have a routine. But if you have a routine, then you understand the challenges of that. Sometimes the repetition of the routine kind of starts to wear you down. Now, that can happen to us individually. You know, in your personal life, the routine gets old. And trust me when I tell you, sometimes the kids get sick of the routine. Why do I always have to go to bed at 8 o'clock? Because we have a good routine and we don't want to get you off your routine. And those of us who are older, still sometimes you feel like, ugh, I always do this. I wish I could change this or that. Churches sometimes get in a routine, and sometimes the routine of that can start to affect the church because we do it over and over and over and over and over again, and we lose some of the emotions that maybe we should feel. Now, thinking about personal routine, I don't care if my kids have emotion about their math homework or not. Just get it done. But when we come in here, as Daniel talked about last week, we need to be emotionally engaged. It's good to be engaged and to have that emotion, and sometimes the routine wears on that emotion. Sometimes we need to experience a new thing. Did you catch that in the Bible reading this morning? So in the prophet Jeremiah, God says, seek out the old paths. And yet with the prophet Isaiah, he says, don't remember the former things. I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do something different. Now, they're going to be experiencing some captivity in their history. That's what's happening here. And God says, I don't want you to remember how I've saved you in the past. I'm about to do something completely different to get your attention. Sometimes it's good to break the routine, to change things up, so that we do have a new experience. And spiritually, that's good as well. Sometimes we need to have a different experience. Lots of times when we grow in our personal life, it's because we've experienced some unexpected challenge. Something has come up, and it causes you to do things differently. And because of that, maybe you experienced some level of spiritual growth that you wouldn't have got if things hadn't changed, if you hadn't broken your routine. So this morning, I want us to consider 2 to 3, and I'll talk more about this in a second, 2 to 3 Bible practices that will maybe help wake up your emotions a little bit. I was talking to one of our young people not too long ago who said, I liked to have my brain tickled from time to time. That's pretty good. I like that. It's good to think about things in a different way. You realize how many Bible practices, and we're going to talk about a couple this morning, how many Bible practices and Bible principles there are that maybe we don't have in our routine? Sometimes people get tired of the routine at church and then they quit or they go somewhere else or something like that, trying to change the routine. We didn't have to actually do that. We could have just changed a few experiences that might have helped you gain some spiritual growth and got you back on your path. What I'm going to do this morning is suggest, I say 2 or 3, I think our time's going to allow for 2 this morning. I've got a list of about 20. So I preach again in 2 weeks. I'm going to do a couple more then. You guys can give me feedback. We love feedback. If you want to continue with this, we'll make it a series. If not, we'll call it a mini-series, and I'll cut it off after 2 sermons. But we're going to consider some alternative things that are in the Bible that might help us to grow a little bit spiritually. The first one this morning is connect with God's creation. Connect with God's creation. What do I mean by that? 2 words, real simple. Go outside. Go outside. You're like, I'm not feeling it right now. It feels like we're going through the motions. I don't feel like I'm connecting with God. What's something else I can do? I'm telling you, go outside. I want you to see the beauty of God's work. Now, sometimes we're outside because we're already at the ball field or we're already working in the garden or something like that. I'm challenging you to break your routine. Don't do that and call that going outside. Do something different. Those of you who drink coffee in the morning, get up a little earlier. Have that on the back porch. And look at God's creation. Psalm 104 and verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever, and may the Lord rejoice in his works. Did God rejoice in his works? Yes, he did. He absolutely did. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. As you go through Genesis 1, God creates things, and he says, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. He gets to the end, and he goes, that is very good. That is very good. He saw his creation and he enjoyed it. He rejoiced in it. God the Creator rejoiced in the beauty of his creation. Take a second to think about that. And he experienced his creation back in Genesis chapter 3 now. Now we know that this is when sin comes into the world. It says Genesis 3 and verse 8, "Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." You see that? He is out experiencing the nature of his creation. We're going to spend eternity, hopefully, in the presence of God in awe and wonder of the beauty of God. Look what God is doing, though. God is experiencing the awe and the wonder and the beauty of his own creation. Think about that. And so many times we go outside and we just fail to experience it. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, "The heaven tells the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands." Just looking around declares the work of God. We need to experience that. The natural world offers a remarkable experience for the senses. You know, I'll share this with you this morning. You know, my dad passed. It's almost been a month. I can't believe it's already been that long. The 2 weeks leading up to him leaving us were harder for me than when he actually passed. Because you don't know what's coming. You know, they just told us he's got a couple weeks left. And that was difficult because I thought, I don't want him to suffer. I don't know what the end is going to be like for him. And it was difficult. And there was one day I had to go to work. Usually I'm with Matt and we spend all day talking. Matt had some other things going on that day. Matt wasn't there with me. I was working by myself, working in a home with a homeowner. And I couldn't even think about work that day. I just couldn't think about it. It was raining, and I thought, I'm going out to the van. I went out to the van, got in the van, sat there, and had myself a good cry. It was sad. And it was one of those messy cries, you know, where tears are all over your face and your nose is running, and it was embarrassing. And I thought, I got to go back in to this homeowner now. And you've probably had one of those cries at some point in your life. Your face is all red and puffy. And I got out and I took my glasses off and the rain hit my face and refreshed me. There's no other way to say it than that. Feeling the rain on my face got me ready to go back in that house. Sometimes God's nature, you need to experience it. We need to stop and think about it and enjoy it in a way that he enjoyed it. I think about David running from enemies, worried about his own life. Now, David is not mentioned as the author of Psalm 96, but he gets credit for it. Psalm 96 and verse 11, "May the heavens be joyful, may the earth rejoice, may the sea roar, and all it contains. May the field be jubilant, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy." David is constantly on the run for his life, and he writes a psalm about nature. Just enjoying the outside. I picture David sitting under a tree, something like that, as he's writing this down by himself. "Thank you, God, that I can experience this away from all the stress of my life. I'm glad that I have that. Feel the warmth of the sun, hear the birds chirp, watch the trees as they sway. See the shapes, see the sizes, see the colors." You know, it's that time of the year, people who have convertibles. I got behind somebody the other day, a woman, top down, wind blowing, her hair going everywhere. It is kind of funny, though. I think there's three of us here at the building, I think, that have Jeeps. And it's Matt and me and David King. So sometimes we just like to take the top off and let the wind blow through our eyebrows, I guess. I don't experience that. Feel that. Enjoy that. Understand that God created that for you and for me. He cared that much about us. And in that moment, when you're experiencing God's creation, think about the words that Paul says here, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God." You want to get closer to God? You want to know God? Get out and experience what God created. Enjoy the creation. Get closer to the Creator. The beauty and wonder of this world proclaim God in a way like absolutely no other. Get out and enjoy that. How can we put that into practice? Have dinner outside. Notice that I'm having this point up here before I go into the next point of this sermon. Have dinner outside tonight. You know, whatever your routine is, you pick something up from a drive-thru, fine, go pick it up, go to a park, do something, go outside and enjoy dinner. Go for a walk. You know, the Rails to Trails, if you've ever been down there, it's about 3 miles this way, the old railroad track that they've converted into a walking trail, horse trail. You know, now that daylight savings time has come upon us, that's one thing that my family likes to do on a Sunday evening. We will go up there. The kids will ride their bike. Brooke and I will take a walk, leave the phones in the car, and just enjoy some time in nature. Play in a stream. We went to Gatlinburg a couple of months ago. Plenty of streams and creeks and everything that run through Gatlinburg. And Cal wanted to get in the water, and I thought, that's about 60 degrees probably. That is cold mountain water. I was like, well, you can put your feet in it if you want to, you know, roll your pants up. And, of course, you know, 2 minutes later, he's neck deep in it. And he's playing, and he's having a wonderful time. And that made me feel so good. Here he is enjoying this moment. You know, it reminds me of what it's like to be a kid when I used to do that. I remember how that felt. Go to a state park, go to a national park, go to a local park. And just experience being outside. Look at the stars. We now have telescopes that will see further than any in human history. We can see stars that have never been seen before. Think about this. When God created those stars, it wasn't for Abraham or Noah or anybody in the day of Jesus. That was for us because only we can see them. They didn't have the technology to see those. Those were made for you and for me. Think about that. And in all of that, realize that God created those things for us. He loves us that much. And in that satisfaction, maybe we can get a little bit closer to God. Now, satisfaction is one way we can get closer to God. Discomfort is also a way that we can get closer to God. Remember I said, eat dinner with your family outside tonight. Because now I'm going to tell you, you know, you could fast for a day. You want to change your perspective? Spend some time fasting. Now, I realize this is a real health craze right now, and I'm not offering this as health advice. This is, in fact, a Bible principle. And so to get some context on this point and have a better understanding of this point, let's briefly remember the history of this. In Leviticus, God there for the first time says, I want you to fast. Leviticus 16 and verse 29 says, deny yourselves and don't do any work on this one specific day. Then, by the time you get to Zechariah, you realize, well, there's about 4 days a year where God says, I want you to fast, don't eat anything, and instead this is going to be a joyful, glad occasion and happy festivals. Now, usually we think about a wonderful occasion, and we celebrate with some food, typically barbecue around my house. God's saying, I don't want you to eat, and this is going to be a joyful, peaceful, happy occasion. Well, it wasn't that. It wasn't that in Old Testament times. They were what we call today hangry. I am hungry, I am angry, I am hangry. And they were fighting with their neighbors, and they were abusing each other. And then they get so bold as to turn around to God and go, well, we are fasting. Are you not happy with that? And God says, no, I'm not happy with that at all. Look what you've turned this into. Isaiah 58, verse 6, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And quit hiding yourself from your relatives when they need your help. God said, that is what I wanted when I said fast, not this. And then by the time you get to Jesus' day, fasting has become this source of pride and hypocrisy. Look at me, look what I'm doing. There were four times a year they were supposed to fast. You look at the Pharisee in Luke 18, though, and he says, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else. I'm fasting twice a week. Look how good I am. God said, that was never the intent for this. Man has turned fasting into something God didn't want it to become. Now, it's not required of New Testament Christians. Jesus never required his disciples to fast. So I'm not saying that this morning as something we have to do. I'm just offering it. Understand, though, that Jesus did recognize the practice of fasting. He says there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their full reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it's not obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's interesting if you have headings in your Bible. Now, these passages right here in Matthew chapter 6, you start about verse 5, you go down to about verse 18 if you have headings. It probably says, teachings on prayer and fasting. Now, let's put this into practice, okay? What's a day fasting going to look like for you? Get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee. Let's have a cup of coffee. I'm not asking you to give up caffeine for a day. Have your cup of coffee. For some of you, that's all you do in the morning anyway. So you go to work, you go about your day. Starts to get lunchtime. It's really about the third meal for me by that time. Starts to be about lunchtime, and you start to feel kind of hungry. But you think, I'll have a couple more bottles of water. I'll push through the hunger. I'll get to this evening. And you get to evening, and it's time for supper. And for most of us, we're pretty hungry at this point. Now, I'm not advising this if you're diabetic. But if you're not diabetic, even by this time, you may start to get the shakes a little bit when your blood sugar gets low. And you get that discomfort feeling in your stomach, may have a headache, get a little frustrated, get a little angry. What now? I've missed food all day. Go ahead and rather than having supper, finish out your evening routine and go to bed early. And when you get in bed, pray. What's that prayer going to sound like? It might sound something like this. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm frustrated. This day hasn't gone like I thought it would. But right now, rather than thinking about myself, I want to think about the 700 million other people in this world who didn't eat today, who had absolutely no choice in it. It's by their chance where they are that they don't have food. And I realize that 1 in 11 people aren't getting the food that they need every day to nourish their bodies. And I am. And I'm so completely blessed. I have a refrigerator full of food. I have cabinets full of food. I have a pantry with food. I can go to the store and get food. I can go to the drive-thru and get food. It's always available to me. And there's been plenty of times, Lord, where I haven't said thank you. Where I've taken that meal out of the window of the drive-thru and put it in my face without showing a bit of gratitude. Right now I'm hungry, though. I'm thinking about all the times that I've done that. And I'm sorry. And I'm thinking about the other people that I've seen. The guy sitting on the road by the interstate. The person sitting at the gas station. The person sitting on the sidewalk beside the restaurant. And all the times that I could have helped them. And I walked right past them. And I'm thinking about maybe they're feeling what I'm feeling right now. Maybe that'll change my perspective. And Lord, next time I have an opportunity, help me remember this moment when I'm uncomfortable so that maybe I'll do what I need to do to help that person. You think that's the kind of fasting Jesus wanted? You think that's the kind of principles God was trying to put into the Israelites? It seems like maybe it was. And even though fasting is not required, Matthew chapter 25 paints a picture of what the judgment is going to look like. And it's not a pretty picture. There's some people who think they're getting into heaven. And in that moment when they think they're getting in, they're told, no, you're not coming in. And here's why. When they say, Lord, why are we not getting in? He says, because you saw me hungry and you did nothing. You didn't help me. You were full, but you didn't help the hungry. That principle is carried over into the New Testament. Now, am I telling you this morning that every time you see somebody sitting by the highway, that you should roll your window down and hand money out the window? No. No, I'm not telling that. That's not what I'm saying. You're probably thinking, man, if I give them money, that's going to drugs, it's going to alcohol, and I'm here to tell you with almost absolute certainty, it probably is. However, next time you go through McDonald's, you could get a $10 gift card. And when you see that person sitting there, you could hand them that. Are you hungry? I will feed you. We could put that into practice. Help someone and tell them, God bless you, I'm praying for you, I love you, I hope you have a good day. We talk about letting our light shine. Let's point that light in a direction. I'm going to conclude right here this morning. And like I said, if you've enjoyed these 2 points, you let me know and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. Philippians 4 and verse 8. I wish I could close every conversation that we have with these verses. This is my favorite verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and there's a lot of things that we see in the Bible that we could put into practice, he says, practice these things. Practice these things. If you're stuck in a routine, I hope you will look for a way to get out of the routine. Change your circumstances just a little bit. Appreciate God's creation. Appreciate everything that God has done for you. Usually when we close out the service, we extend the invitation. I'm going to give you an alternative to that too. Now, if you're here this morning and your life isn't what it needs to be, you want to make public confession, we welcome that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're glad for you to become one this morning. If you want to come while we're standing and singing, we welcome that as well. But if what's keeping you from responding is this crowd, I don't want to go up in front of all those people. I'm going to be hanging around the building for a while afterwards. The alternative is, come see me. We'll gladly baptize you after some of these people leave. We've talked about fasting. I promise you, they're going to get lunch. But I will be here. Our elders will be here. We've got other deacons who will be here. Matt, Stuart, any of these guys will be glad to go into the water and baptize you. If you want to have a prayer, you're like, I don't want to come forward in front of all this crowd and tell everything that's going on in my life, but I need somebody I can talk to for 10 minutes to have a prayer with me. We will do that. I will gladly do that with you. And if you ever get to the building, we don't have to wait till this moment in the service to do that. We've had people come in at 20 minutes before time for us to start. I know some of you can't believe anybody would get here that early. Come in at 20 minutes before and say, hey, can you have a prayer with me? We go off into a side room, we have a conversation, we have a prayer. We are always here for you. Call Daniel, send him a text, he will respond. Anytime we can help you, we will. What we're singing this morning is a song of encouragement. Let's all encourage each other while together we stand and while we sing.